As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of One of These Years. Off-season edition, a lot going on, full cast today. I'm of course Nick Brumberg, one of the Council and Chris Burke. Full boat, gentlemen. How we doing? Well, it's been a couple weeks. We were all at the combine, actually. All of us recovered from our 8 months in Indianapolis, whatever it was, I'm doing for that week. So, Colton, how we doing?
Doing good, well rested. That was a long time, man. We were there, I was there Sunday through Friday.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
Just way too long to be in Indianapolis, but yep. Back now and rested.
Yes, it is. Chris, you were there for not as long, but how are we doing? You still had to go for half the week, I think. You're not in this side of it anymore.
You got through this week, so I'm glad I didn't have to rush you to the wherever we went.
Yeah, no injuries.
Urgent care this year, so.
That's right. No injuries.
Yeah, Chris, I don't do the full routine anymore. Where you go to the bar till like 3:30 in the morning.
One night
at the bar, and I felt terrible the rest of the week. So that was it for me.
Like that's a young man's game now, and that's Colton's job. So when when we go to the combine, Colton goes out until 4 in the morning or whatever it is every night. I feel like and reports back at who's made a fool of themselves or whatever it is. Someone who can just live on no sleep, whatever it is. I think that's Colton's job. We're gonna just pass that on to you, Colton, from here on out.
I'm here to carry the torch. That's cool with me. I was going to say Nolan, fellow Lions writer.
Yeah, he did.
He actually ended up falling off a scooter on the way back from Prime one night. And
unbelievable.
To be fair, it was raining.
Why was he riding it?
You can't do that. Yeah, that's your
he
first
probably should have just gotten an Uber, but, you know, those things are tempting, man. They are. And so he hurt his knee. I think he has an MRI coming up. And, we're wishing for the best.
An MRI.
Oh, getting married in 2 months, too. So.
That's well, congratulations to Nolan and the business, starting off with a knee injury, it appears. But in any event, Chris, I think you're muted there. I don't know what happened to your side. But in any event, I think today, Colton, I think, or guys, we will start with the news of the day, maybe talk some free agency, too, and then get into some draft as well. But before we recorded, actually, this morning, not a shocker, not a surprise, but the Lions announced extensions for both Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. At the same time, this is what we're ahead of year four, and we all talked about, you know, I think we all, in fairness, all three of us on the show probably talked about, you know, going into the end of year three, they needed to be playoff competitive, and that's what the drop dead like minimum was, and they were well beyond that. So not a shock at all, Colton, but still significant news, especially at a time when a lot of other teams are scrambling and trying to figure out what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. So the Lions got that done. Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, I believe they're both signed through the 2027 season now. You know, Campbell had a six-year deal that was supposed to end, you know, end of 2026. So this basically adds another year onto that. And I'm sure got
another.
Nice
on the same timeline, right?
Same timeline. Got a nice raise too, I'm sure. So, I mean, it's always important when you keep your leadership in place. You know, why rock the boat at this point? There's no reason to just. You know, for, I guess, peace of mind, just keep those guys around as long as possible, get that deal done, and let them focus on the job at hand because, as we all know, they're doing a pretty good job.
Right. Chris, it's interesting to me when we think about this, if you think back on it, because I've been seeing some of this happen. It's not just the Lions, but I've seen some copycatting a little bit of how the Lions have done business over the last couple of years. You've seen it, you know, I think we've seen it based on how some of these teams are paying people in free agency. They're going to run the ball more, right? How they're going to structure their team. We've seen some of these coaching hires, I think, be more player friendly, all this sort of stuff. Let me ask you how weird it is to see anything that the Lions are doing. It's not being like straight up copied, but I feel like they are influencing some of some decisions that are being made right now around the league, which to me is really weird. Really, yeah. Weird. When I see some of that, yeah, stuff, I'm like, you know, definitely, you know, you had three teams in the championship games that were all run heavy, and we've seen how the league has responded to that. It's weird to me to see the Lions being sort of in front of a curve at this point. Is it not?
Yeah, I mean,
or even should it not be anymore? I don't know.
I mean, even to start free agency, it's like interior linemen are going big, defensive tackles are going big. Like, we sort of circled back around here. But yeah, I mean, I think, like, you think back even to when they made those hires in the first place, and I remember how big of a deal it was. Like, what do you mean the GM and coach haven't met each other in person yet? Like, you just hired them separate? How could you do that? Like, it was such a big, I mean, it was in like, we were still kind of in the COVID stuff, but it was such a big deal was made about how they went through that process. And some of the talking point for us then was, well, if this doesn't work, do you just like fold the, like, what happens here if this does not work?
Got to sell the team.
Yeah, right. That was it. Like, you got to sell the team. So it's kind of amazing to think about, how far it's come and just what a relief it has to be for, you know, Sheila and Ron Wood and all that, those people that were making the decision. And I mean, the other extension was Spielman, which is, I tweeted, like, I think that probably gets overlooked, but like, you talk about reestablishing the culture and like figuring out what you wanted this to look and everything. And them bringing him back was huge for that. I mean, we still don't really entirely know what he does in that building to the full extent, but just in terms of like getting everything reset in there and making the connection from, you know, the front office to ownership. That was when like Spielman got the office, and then Sheila moved her office with everyone, and you know, just all those little things that happened right at the start there. So yeah, not surprising that they got the extensions, but it continues to be wild to look back and think about the journey to here.
It's so many times these guys, they get, you know, not lumped together, they get hired together, but they end up splitting off, you see, with these coaches and GMs, where an owner will prefer a coach, and then you get the Game of Thrones crap going on, right? Or an owner will prefer a GM, and then it just starts like, oh, we got to get this guy out of here, or we got to split off, and it's his fault, and it's not his fault, and like, this was definitely a situation, I feel like, and this is some of what I'm talking about, because I've seen some of this in terms of, you've seen hirings being made where the GM and coach, they're really looking hard at like, are these guys going to fit? Is this going to work? Are they going to get along? But really at the end of the day, I think you've seen some ownership groups and some presidents and all this. And I think Spielman did this for the Lions. Just tell the candidates, like, it's going to work because you're going to get along and you're going to be adults, or we're not bringing you in here. Like, we're just not going to bring selfish people in here to these important situations anymore. We're not going to have this be, you know, a thing where you guys are judged separately on separate things. No, you're judged together completely and totally, and whatever happens will happen. But like, obviously you've got a higher right in that, Colton, but like, I feel like that's where the NFL is moving right in this point. We're not going to sit here and play these bullshit games anymore, like we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years. We don't see as many of those, I don't think, right now, do we not? I mean, I feel like a lot of teams are really striving for more of that, like, we got to stop with that because everybody can see it. Everybody can feel it. Let's get rid of that stuff.
Yeah. You know, when I sat down with Chris Spielman and Rod before the season, when I was writing my Holmes Campbell story, they told me that they had people reaching out to them about like how this is working because they were hired at the same time, introduced via text. So people around the league are like, is this for real? Or is it just like an act? Like, do they actually get along? Like, should we be looking to do the same thing? And they're like, I mean, it's working for us. So like, if you can try to find a pair like this, then good luck. But like, yeah, go for it.
Right.
Yeah. And even during that process, like as they're identifying candidates and interviewing people, they crossed out anyone that was like, I need to handpick my own guy, like a GM that said, I need my own coach. Cause they've been through that route before and had Bob Quinn. And then they you know, fired Caldwell and they brought in Matt Patricia, and that was supposed to be the pairing that worked because they were familiar with each other. But sometimes when you have guys that just have the same ideas, you know, it doesn't always work. You need some different viewpoints, and like Campbell and Holmes come from different backgrounds, but still successful, you know, trees and organizations. And so I think that's what made it work. And the fact that they're kind of two selfless guys without egos that just want to win football games. Like, I think that's what is at the heart of this relationship and why it works so well.
Didn't hurt that both of them, I think this was the key, really. Obviously, they hit it out of the park in terms of both guys being, you know, thinking on the same wavelength. But really, this is both guys' first shot and only shot. You know, if it didn't work for either one of those guys, they were never getting another chance. And they both knew it.
Yeah.
To me, there's something to be said about that, too. You know, when you're making these decisions, you're making these hires. When we talk about trying to get energy going and all that sort of thing, they've never lacked for energy or dedication because these guys both walked in the door and knew full well, like, here we are at the end of year three. Like, if it hadn't worked, they knew that they would have been done. Campbell would be back coaching tight ends for the Broncos, and Holmes would be, you know, scouting the West Coast for the Rams, or probably the East Coast, because I think he lived in Atlanta, right, for the Rams. But it has not gone that way, of course. It's gone out beyond, above and beyond, I think, how any of us probably thought it would did. Okay, let's talk a little bit about topic du jour here, free agency, which forced Colton to leave Twitter, I think, briefly. Are you?
Briefly.
You've been on Threads, Colton. Everyone tries that, and then they come back. Threads is a tough play. I don't know. Threads is – what were your thoughts on Threads, Colton, before we get into all this? How are you doing with Twitter reactions and your – yeah, what's going on?
I like Threads. Like, I forget about it. That's my problem. I forget it exists so often. And I'm like – I remember, like, the last time I posted a thread was 17 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, jeez.
I should probably hop on there. And people on Twitter were pushing me over there because, like, I remember tweeting like a response to, you know, the Eagles offseason, like getting Saquon and Gardner Johnson and all these pieces. Yeah. And I'm like, I think I just tweeted sheesh, like one word.
Yeah,
right. It was like, everyone had their takes. It's like, oh, the Lions are better. They're not going to do anything. The Eagles are ass, like all this stuff. And yeah, other people saying, what is Brad Holmes doing? Why is he sitting on his hands? Why is he signing every player on the market right now? And I'm just like, it was just people like arguing in my replies. I'm just like, is this what it's going to be like? It was a one word tweet and I had like 30 replies. So I'm
not going to happen in Threads.
Already kind of over free agency. But I will say I hopped over on Threads and I said, like, I'm going to try to use this more if I can remember. And someone tweeted like a picture of their dog at me. And everyone's like, oh, it's so nice to have you over here. Just like, why am I wasting my time on Twitter with these assholes sometimes? You know, not everyone. There are some nice
people. I know, man. I know.
It's the ones that just like to yell at nothing for no reason that are
very interesting,
somewhat annoying. So obviously most stuff is happening on Twitter, so I have to stay over there, but I'm gonna try to post on Threads a little bit more.
I think I try to do the same thing, but that's always an interesting conversation. But in any event, Colton, they do make some moves. They make some, not as many as people wanted, but I mean, again, this is what Brad Holmes said they were gonna do. Right, wrong. I mean, he pretty much said, we're not gonna do anything stupid. But if you look at these moves, Marcus Davenport, Carlton Davis, and we'll talk about all these guys here. I forgot about Matthew Betts from back a couple weeks ago. We'll talk about him too. They're all very familiar additions in terms of when I look at Davenport, I think of he's like the Charles Harris type, right? A guy who's been hurt, but they know him real well and they trust him, and maybe he can outperform that one-year deal. Carlton Davis, I know some people are excited about him because he can come in here and maybe play right away. They re-up with Mosley. Colton, what were your thoughts on some of these moves here, the ones that they did make and then maybe the ones that they didn't make?
Yeah, they feel like Brad Holmes moves. I mean, really, I don't know how else to put it. Like, some guys with injury histories in their past, but also have some upsides, some familiarity with the staff and the style of play that they look for. So a guy like Carlton Davis, I thought they needed a man cover corner, and like that's something they've been looking for a while now. And, you know, I think we saw that Aiden Hutchinson went on like our podcast, like Robert Mays, the Athletic Football Show, and I think it was during Super Bowl week, and said that AG in the second half of the season said he felt like he got away from himself. That's when they were playing more zone in the first half and not blitzing as much. So he was sacrificing. What was that?
So that's when they were stopping the run too, but go on.
Yeah. Defending the pass a little bit better too.
But,
you know, he wanted to get back to that style that he knows.
Right.
A style that he's familiar with and wanted to make it work with the guys he had. And I think Brian Branch was like, it's our guys or some, so let's try to make it work. And so I think that, you know, was probably more setting up this year. And when the moves that they would make this offseason, like trying to get a man cover corner to kind of do that, you know, bump and run coverage, you know, that they haven't been able to, they haven't had the horses to run.
No,
you go out and you trade a third round pick for Carlton Davis, a guy that is fearless in man coverage, likes the challenge of being alone on an island. He told us yesterday that he wanted to shut down half the field and be the guy that goes up against every number one receiver that they face. And, you know, we'll see if he can be that guy. He's had some success in that role in the past, but I just think the style of play that he plays is something that the Lions were looking for. You look at Davenport, you know, he didn't have the best season last year. He only played four games, had, an ankle injury. But he's a guy that's been productive in this league before, so I think it's just a matter of trying to recapture some of that magic. You know, he's coached for Aaron Glenn before, or he's played for Aaron Glenn before. You know, he can set an edge. He's 6'6", 265, I believe. So he's got the size, the length that you look for, a former first-round pick, the pedigree.
Yeah,
so,
he's a good player. When he sells.
And only $6.5 million for a potential starting edge. You know, even if he's not a starter, that's still a solid rotation piece for 1 year. It's kind of low risk to me with some upside. And Amik Robertson, a corner that they signed from the Raiders, seems like an up-and-comer. He's only 5'9", but, you know, he's a battler out there. Like, you wouldn't know it just by the way he plays. Plays bigger than his size for sure. And I kind of see him as, like, maybe the number three corner, a guy that can start in a pitch, maybe push Cam Sutton if he continues to struggle, and also can play some nickel too if Brian Branch or someone, you got to move some pieces around.
Yeah.
So I kind of like him more in that nickel role, maybe like the Will Harris, he takes over that role. So I like the moves they've made, man. It's just like, I know they're not the sexy splashes that people wanted, but again, Brad Holmes that hasn't been his style. You know, he even told us in February, his end of the year conference, that like, look, man, we're not trying to win in March, April, and May. We're trying to win in December. So every move that we make and every move that we don't make is with December in mind. So just remember that. And I put that in my story from today, and it seems people forgot that this past couple of days. But, I mean, it's still out there, and I think that's how the Lions are operating.
They forget it every time. Go ahead, Chris.
Do we think Cam Sutton is part of this roster in September?
I mean, I think they're going to give him another shot. Like,
okay. I was just curious.
I don't know the money situation if they were to try to move on, but I don't know. I think he's more of a number two anyway, and like they were kind of playing him as a number one last year just because they didn't have another guy. So
yeah,
I imagine they want to give him another chance, but I guess we can't rule it out.
This one's going to ask you, Chris, actually, because you brought him up. And it's the same thing about, I was going to ask about Carlton Davis, because they traded for him. You trade a third round pick for him. Carlton Davis at the end of his deal, the Bucs already, was he 27, I think? The Bucs already signed him to the after rookie deal. So they already did the thing that I don't like doing, which is paying a corner. I don't like paying corners. Never have. When Patricia and those dudes did it, it was always like, what in the hell are you doing? It's a volatile spot on the field. It just is. So to me, you got to pay these guys in small bits, and whether they like it or not, you just do, because it's a volatile spot. So that said, do you agree with me at all on that? Am I insane? Or do you like the fact that they traded for this dude? You're giving up a third-round pick. You had two third-rounders. It doesn't exclude you from doing, you know, getting another corner in the draft, you know, in the top 100 again anyway if you want. And you don't have to – you're not on the hook for any, like, ridiculous – and they paid – what was it? Something got a two-year deal, so it wasn't anything stupid with him. But, like –
yeah, 333 or something.
Yeah. What are your – three? Yeah, what are your thoughts on that whole thing?
I mean, I think some of this is – I like the way that they're doing it, because I think you're – we always talk about like the quarterback contract window, but they've got a little bit of a window here with like Branch and Joseph in the secondary, where you can spend on some other guys too. I don't know. I also kind of view this as, to go back to Holmes, sort of his evolution. I feel like when he arrived here, he had in his mind that like, I'll find you a corner. Don't worry about it.
Right,
we'll find
a
guy. We'll figure it out. Jerry Jacobs, like, just trust me. Watch this guy play. And now you get to this, and you're right on the verge of a Super Bowl, and you're looking at that roster, and you're like,
quarterback's
holding you back here, man. And so I think that this is part of his evolution, too, is just, all right, well, how can we solve that without relying on a rookie to start next year, without you know, just scraping the bottom of the barrel and hoping someone develops. So I think that that is him adjusting to what he saw as we all did, a glaring need on this roster, and trying to solve it the best way possible. So again, I don't think it eliminates a cornerback as a draft pick, but I do think it's hard to I mean, I think it's hard to do it this way too. I mean, we've seen a lot of cornerback trades and contracts and stuff that don't work out because you move a guy
from
the scheme he's in and then they fall apart. So
right.
There's it's no hard guarantee to move that systems. This is going to work yeah. either. But
right.
I think that they were beyond a point as a roster of, all right, well, let's try and like nickel and dime this a little bit. So I exactly, like that they're yeah. taking a shot. I think these guys both fit. Robertson for sure fits the mentality that they're going for. I mean, Sutton that era, not Sutton Davis. That's kind of the interesting part. Like, is he, when he's really good, he's physical. And when he's not very good, he's not physical. So which guy are you getting there? But if you get the good version of him, I mean, yeah, I mean, he can be that number one guy for you. So I like what they're doing. I think it's smart that, you know, that they're attacking where they were arguably weakest at the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I should amend when I say I don't like paying corners. I don't like paying corners out of free agency like that or setting markets for guys that haven't been in your system and haven't played with the guys in your secondary or don't know anything that's going on. Like, you know, this isn't that obviously, but like people talked a lot about Legarius Sneed, Colton. I'm sure he was in your mentions every 30 seconds.
And the Lions, you know, like, look at any Lions tweet that comes out right. and like, go get Sneed.
And he's right. And he's the guy of this year, and I can't, you know, we could think back to last year of like who it might have been, like a guy at the top of one of the lists of a position of need. And it's like, no, like if he doesn't, if it doesn't fit what you're trying to do in every way, you're not paying like market setting money for the person. You cannot do it. It will get you fired. You know what I'm saying? Like these contracts, it's not the draft picks. That's always the thing I always end up saying to people, like, the draft picks, yes, I'm sure they can get you fired. The contracts will always get you fired. If you give these bad deals out, you know what I'm saying, or if you take on these and you can't get out of it, you're drowning and you become the Chargers, you have to cut your entire roster, right? Like, that's what they're trying to avoid in so many ways. So we hear a lot of the criticisms, Colton, and a lot of stuff that I've seen anyway, and you've seen more of it, of course, in your exile from Twitter, but is that they're being too conservative and, you know, the cap has expanded and they do have some money, and why not, you know, maybe take a chance on somebody else for a little bit more, right? Like, I've heard that a few times, and I'm not sure who somebody else would or wouldn't be necessarily, but to be fair, I did see Josh Uche go for $3 million to the Patriots, which was nuts. There's a couple guys out there, and this is not a good edge class. We'll talk about Matthew Betts here in a second, but, like, what's been the main sort of gripe? I feel like that's been what it is. Like, there's some talent out there that could be had that's not going to break your bank. Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like there's this idea that the Lions window isn't as wide open as people think. And, like, to some extent, I get it. It's the NFL. You know, stuff happens. Sure. Ben Johnson could leave after this year. You know, you never know. So I think people are kind of saying, look, we got so close last year. This should be the offseason where we make some moves like the Eagles are making or some of these other teams. Like, and they're looking around the league and they're seeing other moves and other players signing with teams. And they're like, why are we still doing this like bargain hunt that we were doing, you know, 3 years ago? We should be on that next level by now. And like, I get it if you're a fan watching that because you saw your team come within, you know, 30 minutes of making it to Super Bowl. But at the same time, like, there's a reason Holmes is like, when Holmes speaks to us, he's speaking to the fans and he's trying to let you guys know, like, he, like, at his end of the year presser, he had a kind of a rant where he's just like, our window is not just 1 year, guys. This, we built this way so we can have multiple cracks at this. And I want that to be abundantly clear. And that's kind of what he was saying. He was talking to the fan base, not us. Mm-hmm. We know how he's built this thing. So when March comes around, you wouldn't be surprised by the way he's still operating because they're trying to save money for these contracts down the road and they're trying to keep their options open. If there's a guy that perfectly fits what they want, they'll sign that guy to a four or five-year deal in the open market. If there is a player that perfectly fits that criteria, they haven't really found that yet, obviously. And so they're going to keep pushing that down the road and keeping their money and keeping their flexibility. So that's what it is to me.
Yeah,
I mean, Holmes tells you every single year, I'm not going to go out and sign the number one free agent on someone's list. That's not really what we're trying to do here. We're trying to find the right guys that fit us, maintain flexibility, and win with the core that we've drafted and that we'll continue to draft. And so, I mean, I guess you can be mad at that if you want. That just sounds like a miserable life to me because they're trying to tell you how they're going to operate and they've gotten this far with that same exact plan. So why deviate from it now? I guess that's my thing.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I don't like free agency ever. I feel like it's the this is the week when people get fired. I mean, this is the week when people get themselves fired. I really feel that way because you just said something, Colton, that hit me. It was like, you know, if they find somebody out there in the market someday that, you know, that is perfect for them, they'll sign the guy.
Yeah.
But hey, if that guy exists, they already would have drafted him. They already would have drafted him. He'd already have a team, and some of this. And this is the fair criticism. And this is what I want to ask Chris, because at some point we talk about growth for both these guys. You got to grow at some point. And they did grow this year, and they have grown in the past. You let go of guys that you have signed. I let go of Jamal Williams last year. They didn't pay Jonah Jackson. I don't know how hard of a decision that was or wasn't for them. I don't think it was probably as hard as maybe we would have thought originally, but they didn't pay him, right? CJ's gone again. I understand a lot of this is a young group, a young core, and we're still moving along, like Colton just said. That's the biggest thing here. But at some point, Chris, when does the conversation change to you need to take more swings at guys that maybe you don't have full trust or you don't know their entire life story because we need help here and you're going to have to spend some money on that guy? Like, when does that become a thing, or does that ever necessarily really become a thing in the NFL? It feels like the Eagles kind of do it sometimes, but also they don't always do that.
I don't know that this regime is going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't feel like the way that they
seem like a Holmes thing.
The way Holmes talks, but also the way that they talk about, like, well, he's gotta get along with every person that resides in the state of Michigan if he comes here. Like, they are not gonna I don't feel like they're gonna bring in someone just
to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him like going out and trading for a huge guy at the deadline or anything like that. Like that sort of stuff is, it's just not how they built this. Maybe I'm misreading it or like misinterpreting what the desperation level would be if they're dealing with injuries or something. But yeah, I mean, I think that this has all been pretty in line with how they've gone about things. I mean, I think these are fairly big swings. Like Davis isn't a $2 million a year contract. That's a big contract.
Yeah.
You got to fit in, you got to rework it. You gave up a pretty good draft pick. Like that one to me is pretty significant. And I mean, they're also still, I mean, what they're talking with Reader and Armstead, they've been linked. Like, there's still some pretty big names out here that
give me Armstead.
Like, if you get one of those two guys, that significantly changes the outlook of this offseason too. So I think that's probably the other thing you caution about. It's like March 14th right now.
Thank you, man. Thank
we're
you.
Not right. quite done. Like, this, when did the Swift trade happen? Draft weekend last year. Like, stuff's still going to happen here.
That Swift contract. It just reminded me of what he got paid last week. Jesus. This week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this has all been still just part of the plan. And I think that I also get the antsiness, and I think part of it is just like in general antsiness of being, I mean, it's all the same fan base. They're all mad at Yzerman. He didn't make moves at the deadline. They're all mad at Troy Weaver. The Tigers didn't add enough bat. Like, I mean, it's all the same thing. It's just the Lions are closer than everyone right now. So they're getting like the top of the market complaints as opposed to why didn't you make a minor upgrade? So it doesn't surprise me to hear any of it. And I think this is also new territory for pretty much everyone here. Like, oh, they're one piece away from getting to the Super Bowl. Why don't you go get that one piece? Well, it's not. If you could do that, you would go get the one piece, but I don't think it's quite that easy. So I think it's been smart.
And that's the thing, because I think a lot of people get confused about when we talk about the guys who need to be paid. You know, you got so many guys on the team that have got to be paid, right? And they're like, okay, well, how many? And then you say the obvious ones, right? So St. Brown, we expect he'll get paid here pretty soon. Sewell, Aiden, that's not counting Jared Goff, of course, but like the young guys. And then people like, somebody will bring up like Kirby Joseph or a guy like that. Well, you can't put him on the list. We don't know that we don't know that he won't be. And if you go out and pay somebody else tomorrow a fortune that's almost 30, like, you know, he's not going to be. And like the whole thing, you know what I'm saying? And it changes so much of what you're doing. And Chris brought up the point, Colton, about probably the best point of this is in terms of free agency, the Lions are, they're never going to be aggressive, I don't think, under this regime in this state of things until like the second week of it. Until after everyone else has done all their strutting and done all of their market setting, then they're going to go in there and find guys who got cut. Like we just talked about Armstead. I don't know if there's some others there that they're linked to. Reader. Like that's, I feel like, when you maybe will see some additional additions, I should say, here. But like beyond, again, it won't be anything that's like, holy shit, I can't imagine, unless somebody falls out of the sky that they wanted to draft that they couldn't draft. That's pretty much how that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think they signed CJ Gardner-Johnson like 9 or 10 days into free agency last year. It was like super late. It was definitely the second week. So like, yeah, I mean, sometimes it takes time. Like DJ Reader, he's a guy that's injured. And what was his injury again? Like a quad something?
Something late.
And so like, they're probably bringing him in for a physical to see if he's like healthy. I imagine that's part of the
business. Sign him now!
And it's like, yeah, it's like, they're doing their due diligence here, guys. Like, I don't know. So he's in Detroit right now as we record this. So from the reports that are out there. So, I mean, a deal could get done by the time we finish recording this podcast. So like, that's why you just got to have some patience. Like people were kind of mad, like 2 hours in the free, like the legal tampering period on Monday. And it's like, what are we doing here, guys?
Every year.
It's like, but it's like, you've learned nothing. Cause it's the same thing every year. It's like a song and dance that we don't have to do.
It's the same conversation that we end up having in different ways. It's that the people don't want to accept the fact that they're ahead of schedule, that they were ahead of schedule, that they're still so young and you can't force it. Whatever. That doesn't mean anything. They made it to the championship game. And I understand that they did, but like, you still can't force how these things go, development, all that sort of thing. You can't tinker with it. Right. I mean, these guys are still learning about each other in a lot of ways, the young core and the young pieces and everything else. Okay. Let's talk about something maybe less stressful for everyone, which is the draft. Especially for the Lions this year, because we talked about this, Colton. I can't remember a time when they've had this much flexibility and freedom, and now probably even more so after, you know, making some moves at corner, a couple of moves at corner. We didn't touch about Mosley coming back. They are in a pretty good spot here, and I know that we haven't talked since you came back from the combine. Like, what were some of your combine takeaways? And then your thoughts on where things sit maybe with them right now and not what you're looking at draft-wise after this first wave of free agency here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess going back to the combine, like one of the things I heard, which I kind of knew, but, you know, I heard it from some Lions people like straight, was that they really loved Devin Witherspoon. And if he was there at 6, they were going to take him. And
last year.
And that's after they signed Mosley, after they signed Cam Sutton, they were going to draft Devin Witherspoon at 6. So that tells you like they're looking for players. Sometimes it just doesn't bounce your way. You end up going 5th and they pivot. And that's some of the options that we talked about last year when they could trade down, trade up for Will Anderson if he's there, you know, not too far with out of reach. But to me, it's like they have even more flexibility this year because they have fewer holes because they filled them last year in that draft. You get your starting nickel and Brian Branch, you get a linebacker and Jack Campbell, you get an upgrade at running back and Jahmyr Gibbs, and you get your all pro tight end, same with Porter. So like those are positions that are covered now. They'll be covered for the next few years. And now you're sitting at 29, you sign some more players in free agency. You got an edge that could potentially start. Maybe he's more better served as depth, but that's still an upside piece. If you don't want to go and draft an edge, or you don't think there's a guy that's worth taking. They can still go corner despite the fact that they've signed these guys. And, you know, traded for Davis. Like, I was wouldn't be surprised if there's a corner there at 29 that they pull the trigger on. So I also wouldn't be surprised if they trade back, because they traded their third round pick for Carlton Davis. If you can trade down, like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 spots in the second round, pick up a third in the process, like, why not? I would do that too. And Brad's kind of hinted at that, I think, a little bit here. So, yeah, I mean, my takeaways from the combine and the draft, it's like the Lions have a lot of flexibility. They have a lot of options coming in April, and I think they'll try to exercise some of those.
Yeah, the edge class, as we know, is not great. It's not very deep, and I think that, you know, obviously the Lions have addressed that in a couple of different ways. Talk about Davenport, Matthew Betts, the CFL superstar there, who's undersized but has ridiculous agility, and I think is probably going to surprise a lot of people with how quick he can beat them at the line of scrimmage, and probably will be a player for them. And that's another guy who got signed in February. Nobody talked about that. So I don't want to hear any complaint, you know, like everyone who's through all the fits. If Matthew Betts has 6 sacks this year, Brad Holmes is going to make everybody eat that one. But moving on to my next point here is the corner thing has been interesting. And the more I think about it at 29, and the more, Chris, that we think about the fact that they didn't pay Jonah, and now you really do need another guard in there. Man, what are you thinking here for this first pick here? I think we might have lost Colton, but we'll keep going. What are you thinking for the first pick at this point? Because I was all corner, and I'm still to a degree if the right guy falls, but I don't know. I mean, because, you know, I don't love the corner depth necessarily either.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, for starters, Holmes probably loves this, right? Like, being 29, like, all right, who is everyone else going to miss on that we're going to get because we're just better at this than people? I bet he loves being in this spot. Like last year,
oh, yeah.
I think that was part of his, you know, pulling up the receipts at the end of this year. Like he last year to do what he did and get Gibbs, and then everyone was like, well, why are you taking a running back? Why are you taking a linebacker? And I think the Campbell thing, I maybe could still make an argument, was odd, but I mean, I'm sure he loves the spot that they're in. And I think he also probably loves that it's really hard to, both from a roster standpoint and just in terms of how they've attacked this, pin down, like, well, they're definitely going to take XYZ. Like I've mentioned to you guys, like, if they take Ladd McConkey or Roman Wilson or someone like that at 29, people are going to go nuts. And it wouldn't be that big of a surprise, because you look at the roster and how they built this and you say, oh, well, that fits in. That makes sense. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think that sort of the strengths of this draft kind of play to where the Lions haven't gone yet. I mean, I think there are some interior defensive guys you can get. I think there's certainly some interior offensive guys you can get. And so, I mean, I'm sure that they love where they are. They can trade up, they can trade down, they're not locked in anything. And that's the best place to be when you're going to the draft in the first place.
Do you think we're going to wait for Colton to get back in here? Yeah. If you can actually fill time. I'm going to tell him that. Do you think the guard situation, we've actually talked about that. Like I think somebody actually mocked, we did too a couple times, Zach Frazier, the kid from West Virginia, the center,
yep,
who could probably play guard if you need him to. I don't know how much I would love that, but he doesn't have terrific length or any of that stuff, but he could probably do it. This is a heavy center needy class. We've heard some stuff about, you know, I don't know how much longer Frank Ragnow is going to play, you know, beyond maybe his contract. I don't think he's going to retire. I think there's been a lot of speculation about that, but like center is probably going to be a need at some point down the road, maybe sooner than later, I would think. Right. Like this guard class also, I would also say, is not, when we're talking about centers, center class is good. The guard class, probably not great. I think that's been reflected too in what you've seen with free agency, and some of these guys get paid a lot of money. How high on the list would you have guard? I mean, they took Sorsdahl. I don't know if he's ready.
Well,
like, I don't know if they're going to pay a guy. Like, I don't know. What would you do there?
I'm going to answer you your question with a question.
With a question? All right, let's do it.
How, I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this. Like, the way this offense is built, can you plug and play a guy right away? Like, how easy would it be to take a third or fourth round guard who, like, moves pretty well and does all right in pass protection and plug and play him based on just the number of different things that they do on offense and the way that they use those guys out in space and all the play action. I mean, how long is it going to take a guy to get ready? Can you take, I mean, Sorsdale played obviously, but
yeah,
if you're saying we're drafting a guy to play week one and replace Jonah Jackson,
right?
Is that realistic with where they're at and who's available?
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Two parts. One, it's doable, but you know, if you're going to start a rookie in that offense, it has to be probably like a top 60 player, I think. Right. It has to be somebody who's at the top of that, you know, talking about the first or second guard on the list. And the second part of that is no, he's not going to be able to replace what you lost this year with Jonah Jackson, because Jonah is a borderline all-pro player, you know, pro bowl player, whatever, when he's healthy. But that's not to say he couldn't be better than Jonah Jackson in a year or two or down the road. So, like, that's why you didn't pay him, obviously, at this point, is I think it's time to get younger there and reinvest in the position in terms of youth. But I think it's doable. It's just, like, you're going to have to make sure that this guy is a stud. Like, it can't be, like, that's why, Colton, when you were out, we were talking about Zach Frazier for a second. Like, if they're going to take a lineman high, I would think it's going to have to be a guy. It's going to have to be a really good player. And I almost wonder if it'll be somewhere where maybe not in the first round, but maybe they would trade back up in the second round to go get somebody. Because I don't think you'd want to wait very long. But it's like Chris brought up the good point there of, like, you know, this is not a chump offense that you're playing here. You're not going to just sit there and pass pro in the same thing 65 times a game. You're going to be asked to do a whole lot of stuff, and it's not for everybody, as we've seen. So, yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Colton, on how high would you go lineman? Because, like, 29 there is probably a sneaky spot to sneak up. And if you like a guard or a center guard, whatever it is, like, what are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah. If there's one there that you absolutely love, I would pull the trigger, but, like, I wouldn't force it. But I don't know. At the same time, it's like, if they were to run it back with, like, Awosika, for example, he kind of struggled. I know it's easy to say, oh, we just plug anyone in there and they'll have success next to those guys. Yeah. But, like, I don't know if that's the case, because Awosika, like, he's a great dude. I still like him as a player. I think he's a good backup. Sure. But I don't know if you want him as a starter. Colby didn't really look ready. He might be more of a developmental guy. That's why you get him in the fifth round. So I agree. If there's maybe a guy in the second, like Cooper Beebe, I have no idea what his draft stock is. I feel like I've seen him all over the place.
He's got short arms. He's just like the rest of these guys. Yeah.
Okay.
There are a couple, like Mason McCormick, from, what is he, South Dakota State? Mm-hmm. Like one of those Dakotas. I always get those mixed up. There are a couple, but they're older. And that's the other thing that's going to piss people off, is there are a couple, but like Mason McCormick, I think, is a fifth or sixth year guy. There's a couple guys, and that's actually what I would maybe prefer.
I don't mind that. Yeah.
Yeah. If I were them, is an older guy who's played a bunch of ball in, like, a really big time, like, we run the hell out of the thing, and, like, Michigan system, you know, one of those type of dudes. I don't know if I would take one of Michigan's guys necessarily, Zinter, but he's hurt. I'd have to get all that. But, yes, we're talking about a Cooper Bebe or a McCormick or one of those types. It would have to be a guy who's played a ton of football, like Jonah Jackson, because, you know, Jonah started as a rookie and was very good. But that's what it takes, and it's going to have to be somebody in the top, you know, 100, I would think, at this point. I don't know. Chris, are we missing anybody there at the top? Who else caught your eye at the combine coming out of there that maybe would fit in this conversation? I mean,
are we assuming that, like, Powers Johnson's off the board for that?
I think so.
But, I mean, he would be great. Okay.
Now, hey, look, would you trade up for him? Do you think he could play guard? I think he could play. Yeah, I think him and Frazier could probably both do it. Colton, we just mentioned the whole Frank thing when you were out. You know, you have to prepare for, you know, a couple of years there. Would you trade up for a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson? That's a good question.
You know me, he's my guy. I don't know if you can get away with trading up for a center.
For a center? After
this, but maybe. Yeah. I mean, Brad has the villain hoodie, right? Like,
I mean, to your point, Nick, like, Christian Haynes, like Mahogany from Boston College. Like those are guys who are, I mean, they're like 34 and have kids. Like you're not, you're not drafting a 20 year old that you need 5 years with. Like those are guys in some of those cases too, that have run sort of pro style stuff in college. So yeah, I mean, I think that that's certainly something you can look at in the draft, but it's, some of those contingencies you're talking about, like how far out are we looking at replacing Frank? Because that changes things a lot if you have to replace him in 2 years or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I do like the idea. I think you always, to me, that's a spot you should draft every year. Frank,
every year,
just draft one or two guys who can play a couple positions in there.
Inside and out every year.
Yeah. And you hope one of them becomes something. It's not like we knew Jonah Jackson was going to be, I mean, we thought he'd be good. But I don't think we knew he was going to be, you know, helping set the market. So, yeah, I mean, I would expect them to draft at least one and maybe more than one.
That is an interesting conversation, the whole offensive line's future and everything else, because Frank's situation changes the whole it dictates, I should say, the whole thing to me. Because I think before last season, obviously he's had injuries every year he's played, right? But before last season, I probably had in my head, like, you're going to have him for the rest of this deal, and you're probably going to get him for another two or three after that. After last season, I don't think you're going to get him for the other two or three after that. And you'll probably be happy that you if you get him for the full remainder of his deal currently, which is, I think, 2 years left. It's not that long, right? I don't think it's going to be forever that he's still – maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he, you know, but I think that, you know, when Colton, we talked about it so many times all year, how many things did he go through this year? I mean, I'm not sure he's going to be ready to play when they come out, you know, for training camp at this point. This dude's banged up, and it's been a thing. So you think about him, you're thinking about Decker. At what point does that have to change, right? And you got to guard a whole slot here right now. So I really feel like maybe you're looking for a guy who can play guard and tackle. I don't know. I mean, you can do a lot of different stuff there, right? I mean, I think up front this year.
That's what I was going to ask, because Decker is a free agent after the season. And so it's like, maybe you can stagger that. Maybe you can get your center of the future this year and then go for tackle next year if you don't want to re-sign Taylor. But, you know, I think they should absolutely be looking at offensive line. I mean, you got to prepare for what's ahead. That's what good franchises do. They're always keeping an eye towards the future, you know, looking at their salary cap, the roster, age, injuries, all that stuff matters. For a guy like Frank, I think the Lions beat kind of collectively calls him like head, shoulders, knees, and toes now, just because of the injury report every week.
Yeah, every week. It's amazing. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
And like, his credit, like, he guts it out like every single week, and he plays through so much pain. It's just like, how much longer is he going to subject himself to this? And it's like, that's not sustainable. Like, that's not a stable way to live life. And I think he's probably thinking about his future and, you know, trying to be able to walk in 10 years, you know, I think that's all important. So, we'll see how many years he has left. But if you can get a center like a Zach Frazier or JPJ somehow falls to 29, I would do it.
I would too. I really would.
Frazier's probably more likely to be there than JPJ, but I mean, I like both of those dudes. I also wonder guard tackle. Did the combine kind of push the Washington tackle, Troy Fatanu? Is he kind of out of their range now?
Yeah, I think he's going to go before. I think a lot of the best tackles are going to be gone before they go. I think a lot of the best linemen are going to be gone before they go, honestly. Like, there's so many good ones, but everyone needs one, right? So, I don't know. But I do think this is a good center class. And there are guys in here that can play guard. Like, we just saw this happen. Jason Kelce just retired. And I want to say 2 years ago, was it, they drafted Cam Jurgens. And I think I saw somewhere where Kelce told the Eagles, that guy, that's who's replacing me when I'm done. Like, I'm not asking you to go out and have Frank draft a guy, okay? But I'm just saying, if you get a guy in here now and you get him around Frank, who's like the best dude in the world and understands the situation and will be Frank Ragnow whenever he's done retiring or playing football, whether it be in 2 years or 10 years, will be, I feel like, Spielman. It'll be around here forever, one way or the other. If you can get a young center that gets to play next to Frank for a couple of years and then takes his job, the Philly's not going to miss a beat. You watch. I mean, they just lost a Hall of Fame center, and the dude that's coming in is a badass. And he's been sitting there playing guard next to him for 2 or 3 years, learning and getting ready. you could do the same thing here. To me, that's a pretty intriguing thing. And you can do that at a lot of different spots, I feel like, on the field now, which is also something to be excited about, too. My other question about the combine for me, for wrap up for both of you guys, were any guys that stood out? I know Johnny Newton's probably on your list, Colton. Any other guys that stood out that that you saw or talked to or around that were like, oh, hey, he'd be a Lion. He would fit immediately. Like, he would be part of this whole thing, and it would be no question about it.
Ooh. Well, yeah, you mentioned Newton. I love Newton. Yeah. I just think he's a dude. You know, Kamari Lassiter is another guy that, in terms of, like, his mindset and, like, the aura that he carries, like, that's just a Lions dude, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, he's got that, like, he's kind of like Panay in the cornerback form, I think.
Interesting.
You know, he's been kind of, Brian Branch has been one of his comps, too, so I see that as well. Yeah, there are a few guys that I just definitely like. I'm kind of keeping my eye towards, like, what is AG like in a corner? You know, the new coaches that we talked to, like Terrell Williams, he says he likes a violent defensive lineman. You know, I'm trying to keep my eye out for, like, what they like. And there are a few players that definitely fit that description. And so, yeah, I think one of my favorite parts of the combine is just, like, listening to players, because that's my first time actually being around them and just kind of seeing how they're wired. I thought Terrion Arnold, he said he had a Michael Jordan moment.
I love that guy.
It was when he was benched at Alabama last year, I think for Eli Ricks. Mm-hmm. And he said he wrote down in, like, a journal or something that, like, he's never gonna let this happen again. And looked at it every day. It was, like, motivation for him. Gets a starting job back, has a year he has opposite Kool-Aid this year, went off, and now he's, like, CB1, CB2 in this draft. So he said that motivates him to, like, wear, you know, a Hall of Fame jacket one day. And I'm like, that dude, he's got the right kind of mindset to play this position. So, like, I kind of look out for things like that at the combine, and there are a few guys that definitely caught my mind. The other thing is, I talked to a coach that actually is in the room for some of these DB interviews at the combine, not for the Lions, but just some guys that I've kind of met over the years. And he gave me his top five corners for this draft, and just from guys that he's talked to. And his top five, I don't know if he gave me, like, an exact order, but it was Wiggins from Clemson, Lassiter, Quinion Mitchell from Toledo, Ennis Rakestraw from Mizzou, and then Terrion Arnold. So those were his top five. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because you hear Kool-Aid in there, you hear Cooper DeJean, but that was his top five.
I think that's a good – I don't think that there's a lot of love. I don't know, Chris, if you have thoughts on this. I don't know if this is a – like, Quinion and Terrion Arnold are two guys that we've talked about this, Colton. If they dropped, I would trade up for either of them. Like, Arnold especially, my God. Like, I think he's perfect. He is – go out there and look up the YouTube clip of him talking about Nick Saban and hard coaching. It's perfect. He is a perfect defensive football player in every single way, but whatever. Like, that – the whole situation, I feel like at this point, with corner and the fit and everything else, the board – I don't know. Chris, your thoughts on the board at corner? Like, do you love it beyond maybe the top three or four or even five? Those guys that Colton mentioned, maybe Kool-Aid, maybe Cooper, DeJean, but, like, after that, I don't know. It gets a little dicey for me, and I do wonder if that's part of why we saw them spend a little bit more of their corner this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I like Cooper for sure.
I do, too.
I think he'll be a player, and I know people around here love, like, Sainer still. I don't think
he's a fit
for
– like, a lot of good
I don't know that that's necessarily a fit for what they're looking for. I do think it drops off. I mean, there's guys in there that, like, the Phillips kid from Kentucky. There's a couple smaller school guys, but, like,
Max Miller.
I don't know. Kalen King, I'm not going to – like, that – I wouldn't take him.
No, a lot of guys like him, too.
Kind of state, like, corners to me. I do think there is a drop-off. I was trying to think back if there were any – but did anyone jump out? I mean, the Western Michigan edge, Neyland, I think, is intriguing. And the
there's more intriguing tackle, edges.
Like, Fiske, looks insane. I think that's one of the mysteries of this Lions regime, is it's hard to say, like, well, he's definitely a guy without hearing what they're like in the interview room. So I do think that the combine interviews help some of that. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm with you. I don't love, like, the mid rounds of this cornerback class necessarily. No. So I think if you're missing out on those top four or five, that is going to make it a little tough.
The other thing, too, would be the edge. You mentioned Nealand. I feel like, and he did have a good combine. I think he ran some really good agility things. One of the only guys that did agilities, I think, for edges. They were all, I mean, they're all terrified of it now.
Maybe that's why he stood out.
Right, that's why he stood out. But, I mean, I do feel like, actually, there were some more edges that intrigued me a little bit more than they did off tape after their testing to a degree, I guess. And then, like we've talked about, I know we talked about at the combine, like Chop Robinson. Like, who's to say? I mean, they like traits, right? I mean, I don't love his production, but I mean, if you talk to him, and I stood there for his whole thing, and I've been around, you know, him talking before, it's a pretty solid kid. He's young. Like, he doesn't seem like, I think he's one of 10 kids or something crazy like that. Like, he's got a pretty wild background and everything else. And he seems to be, you know, himself, but not afraid to be like, those are the type of guys that it wouldn't shock me at all. Jack Campbell was a guy last year. I remember I walked by his podium and somebody asked him if he'd ever played any other sports. And he sat there and talked about how he played baseball forever and hockey forever and golf and tennis and all this other stuff. And they're like, why? He's like, I lived in Iowa and there's nothing else to do. So I played sports. And we're like, that's a Dan Campbell guy, if ever there were. And there you go, right off the board. Like, were there guys like that, Colton, that you saw that you were like, okay, like, that's the personality alone is maybe even going to give them a bit of an edge at this point.
I thought Newton was the guy for me.
Yeah, right.
He was just so self-assured. And, like, the first thing he said was, he walked up to the stage, you know, he's got the microphone in front of him. He looks around, he's sipping on water. He goes, a lot of Illinois people here. Fuck yeah. That's the first thing he said. I'm just like, yeah, this dude is awesome. And he was talking, I don't know, he just the way he talks about his teammates, you know, he was so proud of like the defensive guys that Illinois put out the last few years in the draft. You know, talked about his injury, but like didn't use it as an excuse. And I don't know, I just think he's like wired the right way. And when I got him off the side, because I hate asking, like, oh, dude, did you meet with the Lions? Because that's half the question. It's like,
in front of 100 people?
Yeah, it's so annoying. So I liked him enough. So I'm like, I'll just ask him to the side. And I was just like, hey, man, did you meet with the Lions? Just wondering, like, if you did, you know, what were your thoughts? And he leans in. He goes, they fuck with me and I fuck with them. And he walked away. It's like, I love this guy. Put him in Honolulu Blue right now.
Yeah. Now you have, and that's the best point of all. And that's where we'll wrap it up this week, I feel like, because you now have. The Lions have, like, a brand or whatever, for lack of a better term. They have a style or whatever that people understand and have seen and know. And, like, I think that's why people were getting pissed, right? Like, there should be more attraction to want to play for Dan Campbell. You should be capitalizing on this. I get all that. But, like, and that'll all come, I think. But, like, they have a style that people recognize. And I know that we talked to some people, like, there were some players on this team that some of the Combine kids talked about, I model my game after these guys. You know, I heard Sam Laporta's name get brought up a couple times, right? I heard
Titans love Sam Laporta.
Like, yeah, Brian Branch got brought up a few times. Hutchinson got brought up a few times. Like, Sewell gets brought up all the time because everybody thinks they're like, they can do all the things Sewell can do. But, like, that's insane to me. I think, and no one brought up St. Brown. Maybe I missed it, but I feel like more people should be paying attention to
him. He's probably furious.
I didn't hear, and if I didn't hear it, they should be paying more attention to his tape. But, like, that to me says it all, is that you've got guys on this team now that are good young football players who've created a brand for themselves. You've got kids coming out, Johnny Newton, who, like, I want to go play for a winner. I want to go play for the Lions. That would be awesome. What? Like, okay, I think that we've crossed the line now where we can't say what, that's crazy, that's weird anymore. We got to start getting used to it. And I feel like that's my last point to end on, Colton, if you got anything else, is you got to get used to what's happening here and stop freaking out every 30 seconds. If they didn't do exactly what you thought, maybe in your wildest dreams, they would have done, because it's all going to blow up tomorrow. We're never going to see it again. It's not going to blow up tomorrow, and we are going to see it again. And I feel like it does have some staying power. And I think that we are seeing that in little things across the way, all over the place.
Yeah. Just got to let it play out, man. Like, these guys know what they're doing. They've got you this far. Just let it ride and see what happens. I think that's all you can do.
Hard to argue with that. Chris, you got anything else to speak for you out here?
No, thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Well, I think this will be a regular feature, Chris, coming back on. Much as we can, anyway. But we'll still be probably sporadic here through the draft and then into springtime. And we'll see how it goes. But that'll do it for this week. Thanks again to everybody for listening. Be sure you subscribe, like, do whatever you got to do. Tell your friends. One of these days, we'll get all this on video. I swear, I'm trying to start exploring more YouTubing world things right now. So
nice.
TBD and all that. I said YouTubing, that makes me sound like a complete idiot. So YouTube things, I'll say. In any event, that'll do it for this week. For Chris and Colton, I'm Nick. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you later.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.